Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few moments ago in the litany, we prayed to Christ saying, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, good Lord, deliver us. Which leads us to wonder what his fasting and temptation have to do with our deliverance. Our overarching principle in thinking of this comes from our creed, which says that it was for us men and for our salvation that Christ came down from heaven. This means that everything in Christ's life and ministry, including his fasting and temptation, were for us and for our salvation. I would suggest that his fasting and temptation work our deliverance in two ways. First, his fasting and temptation serve to defeat the devil. In the preceding chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, we're told that Christ was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And at that point, after he was baptized, God spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And immediately after this, the Spirit who came upon Christ at his baptism led him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It is almost as if this is a divinely appointed showdown. This is the purpose for which Christ came. I'm sure that once the devil heard God say, "This is my beloved Son," that he began to plot against him. He sought to disqualify him as he had disqualified other sons of God. You see, there is a sense in which Adam was God's son. And the devil came to him in paradise and led him astray. Then there was Israel, of whom God said, "Out of Egypt I've called my son." We know that in the wilderness, during a period of 40 years, Israel gave in to the devil's temptations over and over again and failed to live up to their calling as God's children. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, the devil doesn't know what he's gotten himself into. This Son of God is different. Even at his weakest moment, after fasting for 40 days, Christ would not give in to the devil's temptations. He overcame those temptations, and the devil was forced to leave for another time. And at every other attempt that the devil made to disqualify Christ, he failed. Finally, there was a son of Eve, another Adam, in fact, who overcame the devil and won the victory for humanity. In this cosmic battle, Christ defeated our ancient foe. The final blow would come on the cross, where Jesus took everything that the devil could muster and withstood it. And he did this for us. Through his faithful service to God, he qualified himself to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He defeated the devil, he bore our sins, and through his death, he swallowed up death itself. Secondly, in his fasting and temptation, Christ also gives us the formula by which we can also overcome the devil through him. There are three components to this. The first of these would be fasting and prayer. These two always go together. The idea is that as we fast, we recognize our own inherent weakness and we turn to God in prayer, asking for his strength. In our weakness, we must learn to rely upon God. Related to this is the idea that during the 40 days of Lent, which are inspired, of course, by Christ's 40 days in the wilderness, we choose to fast or abstain from certain things which are not bad. In doing so, we're training ourselves to say no to temptation. When we fast or abstain from things that are good that we normally would enjoy, we strengthen ourselves to say no to the things that are not good for us, namely sins. In this self-denial, we often learn how weak we are, and this in turn leads us to turn to God in prayer. Jesus teaches us by example that periodic fasting is good for us. The second component in Jesus' formula for overcoming the devil is by appealing to the word of God. In all three temptations from the devil, Jesus responded by quoting scripture. Interestingly enough, the passages that he quoted actually came from the book of Deuteronomy, which was given to Israel near the end of their time of testing in the wilderness. So Jesus takes the instructions that were given to Israel and employs them to defeat Satan. The season of Lent should be one in which, a season in which we commit ourselves, recommit ourselves to a daily diet of God's word. We have to learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The third component that Jesus gives to us here is resistance. After the third and final temptation, Jesus says to Satan, "Away with you, Satan." Or some translations say, "Begone. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then we're told the devil left him. Perhaps this is what inspired St. James to write in his epistle, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This is an important point. We cannot control whether or not we are tempted. We will be tempted, but we can learn to control how we respond in the temptation. The devil will cast his arrows at us. That we cannot stop. But we can learn to put up the shield of resistance. And if we do that, we will spare ourselves from sin, and the devil will depart from us. So during this Lenten season, let us meditate often on our Savior's battle with the devil in the wilderness. In doing so, we can recall that he has won the ultimate war for us. The devil is a defeated foe. His days are numbered, and his end will be in the lake of fire. This is all due to our Savior's victory over him, beginning with his temptation in the wilderness. And let us follow our Lord's formula for overcoming temptation through fasting and prayer, appealing to God's word, and resisting the devil's temptations. May God teach us these truths during Lent, and by them may we have victory over our enemies.